To briefly summarize the situation, for those of you who may have just joined us in the last few minutes, President Kennedy was shot and wounded a short time ago in Dallas, Texas, and so was Texas Governor John Connally, as their motorcade drove through downtown Dallas shortly after the presidential party arrived in that city, where the president was to have made a speech beginning just about now at the Dallas Trade Mart. The latest report in is that President Kennedy was given blood transfusions a short while ago as a result of the injuries he received in the assassination attempt. The President and Mrs. Kennedy were riding in the lead limousine, as were Governor and Mrs. Connally. The two women were not hurt in the shooting. Both the President and the Governor were shot. Both apparently were hit in the head. The initial reports say the President fell back on his face and lay on the seat in the car while his wife held his head in her arms. Governor Connally reportedly slumped but remained in a half-sitting position as the car sped off to the hospital for treatment. President Kennedy and Governor Connally injured in an assassination attempt in Dallas about a half an hour ago. And President Kennedy has been given blood transfusions. Governor Connally, we were told a few moments ago, was taken from the emergency ward into the operating room. Surgical specialists have been called in, and two Catholic priests have been called in to be with President Kennedy at the present time. We are told that the president's condition is serious. We are not told of any details about his condition. The turnout, the crowd along the streets, which had turned out to greet the presidential party, had been estimated about 250,000 people, about the largest of the current Texas tour that the president has encountered so far. He flew down to Texas yesterday, as you know, and was to spend 3 days touring and speaking at principal points around the state. The shooting occurred a short time after the presidential party arrived in Dallas. And as we have heard from correspondent Rather, apparently it took place from the fifth floor of a downtown office building where police and security agents have now found four spent cartridges, presumably those that were used in the assassination attempt. The building has been surrounded. We do not have any word on whether any people have been apprehended and linked directly with the shooting yet. The heavy street crowds between the Love Field Airport and the scene of the shooting, the crowds that had turned out to greet President Kennedy on his trip into Dallas, were overwhelmingly friendly. The shooting occurred about a half an hour ago and immediately created turmoil and confusion in the crowd and certainly in the presidential motorcade. The presidential reporting party, the party of reporters and correspondents, were driving in cars about five car lengths behind the president. As soon as the shooting took place and the president and the governor were injured, Secret Service men and Dallas Motorcycle Police immediately waved that car on by itself to the hospital. And in the resulting confusion and the crowds, the motorcade itself was strung out for some distance, and it took anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes before all of the White House party finally arrived at the hospital. Let's hear now more from the scene as we switch again to Dallas and CBS News correspondent Robert Pierpoint.
Human blood type B plus has just been rushed into the operating room where President Kennedy and Governor Connally are being worked over by doctors here at Parkland Memorial Hospital. We do not know whom the blood is for, but the situation still looks very bad. As we said a little earlier, two priests have also gone in to be with the president. Here is an eyewitness report of approximately what happened at just about 12:30 noon as the motorcade with the president's car in front was going under a railroad overpass to enter a parkway. Three shots rang out very loudly. Immediately, the president's car sped up. The SS, the Secret Service men, pulled out machine guns, and officers in the area began to fan out. The president's car sped directly to Parkland Memorial Hospital here. It speeds up to 60 miles per hour. As the car pulled up, President Kennedy was bent over motionless with blood on his chest. Mrs. Kennedy was hovering over him, but he was lifted out of the car. and reporters noted that he was wheeled into the hospital. That is the last that any reporters have seen of him, as he disappeared on a stretcher motionless into the hospital. I repeat that the latest information we have only is that human blood has been rushed into the operating rooms. We do not know whether it is for the president or for Governor Connolly, both of whom are reported to be in serious condition. This is Robert Pierpoint at Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas.
Here in New York, the New York Stock Exchanges have closed early for the day because of the shooting of President Kennedy. In Washington, the Senate recessed pending developments as word reached the Capitol there that the president had been shot in Dallas. The House was not in session at the time. Senator Mansfield, the Democratic leader, made the motion to recess at 4 minutes before 2 Eastern time. Senator Wayne Morris of Oregon said just before the recess, if there ever was an hour when all Americans should pray, this is the hour. Let's go back to Dallas. Here's another report by correspondent Dan Rather.
The Dallas County Sheriff's Office reports it has arrested a 25-year-old suspect, a man suspected of possibly being connected with the shooting of President John Kennedy and Texas Governor John Connolly. Also from the scene of the area where the president and Texas governor were shot shortly after noon, Central Standard Time today, the police continue their search around a five-story building in which 4 empty cartridges were found on the 5th floor. Another report from the scene of the shooting seems to confirm that 1 Secret Service agent was killed at the same time President Kennedy and Governor Connolly were shot. This is Dan Rather in Dallas, Texas.
We are gathering details on a tragic story that has occurred in today's American history, where the President of the United States and the Governor of the state of Texas have been shot and seriously wounded, apparently, in an assassination attempt in downtown Dallas. There is an unconfirmed report that Vice President Lyndon Johnson had been wounded slightly. One spectator said he saw Johnson walk into the hospital holding his arm. And a short while ago, Mrs. Johnson was escorted by Secret Service agents into the emergency room where the president is. Police say they do not know whether the vice president was in that room at the time. But now we have this latest report, an unconfirmed one, that the Vice President Johnson was wounded slightly. Let's switch now for news from the nation's capital as we switch to news correspondent Wells Church on Capitol Hill.
Well, of course, Washington was probably hardest hit by this startling news. And oddly enough, by coincidence, the president's brother, Senator Ted Kennedy, was the presiding officer of the Senate when they learned of the shooting. Actually, he was calmly signing his name to a series of group photographs for visitors when an aide came running in with the word from Dallas. Well, most of the senators looked up, of course, obviously angry at the interruption, and the aide ran to Kennedy's chair, the senator threw down his pen, and the pictures scattered all over as he ran for the door. And the same aide ran from senator to senator telling them the news. They'd just been discussing the proposed extension of aid to rural libraries. Minority Leader Dirksen put his hand to his heart. Senator Wayne Morris of Oregon, who had been leading the discussion, well, he walked a few steps and he stopped and he turned, and then he ran straight for a side door. Others in the chamber at the time included Senator Mansfield and Senator Symington of Missouri and Senator Randolph of West Virginia, all gathered at Dirksen's desk for a moment, and then they all fled the chamber. Reporters crashed over each other in a dash for the doors. The usual scattering of tourists, no more than 100 were left, everyone completely stunned. At the moment, the Senate was in recess on the call of the chair, but Roger Mudd, CBS News correspondent on Capitol Hill, has some later news than that. Roger?
The Senate has just gone back into session at the call of Majority Leader Mansfield, and when I left the floor just a moment ago with the ringing of the bells summoning the senators back, Senator Dirksen said the intention was for the chaplain of the Senate, Frederick Brown Harris, to lead the Senate in a prayer, and then the Senate would go out adjourning to await again the call of the chair. Senator Teddy Kennedy quickly left the presiding officer's chair. His place was taken by Senator Spessard Holland of Florida. The Senate at that moment was in the midst of a quorum call. The quorum call was suspended. Senator Mansfield got unanimous consent on two pending pieces of legislation, and then the House went into recess. Very quickly, senators came flocking in from the cloakrooms, from their offices, from the restaurant down below, and in the back of the Senate chamber along the corridor that backs the chamber are two wire service machines, and that very quickly became the center of activity. As I went through, I noticed that one, Senators Inouye of Hawaii, Symington of Missouri, and Gore of Tennessee, over at the other wire machine was Harry Buried, Bob Bartlett from Alaska, Stephen Young of Ohio, Herman Talmadge of Georgia, Dick Russell of Georgia, Ken Keating of New York, and Dick Russell was reading aloud to the assembled senators the news that kept coming in paragraph by paragraph from Dallas. The Senate official who brought the first word in to Teddy Kennedy was Richard Riddell, who serves as a press liaison official for the Senate and summons senators for reporters as they come in. Most of the members of the Senate, Wells, were almost too shocked to open their mouths. What I heard Albert Gore say was, it's just horrible, that's all I can say. I went and talked to Jim Pearson, young Republican from Kansas. He told me, I feel sick at my stomach.
Many of the senators came rushing here to the Senate radio gallery, expecting to find later news here than they might even on that wire. Senator Curtis, for example, rushed in. Actually, his face was flushed. He was chomping on a cigar. And, of course, we weren't able to tell them any more than you, the audience, have already heard. CBS newsman David Schumacher was in the gallery at the time that Senator Kennedy was told of the difficulty in Dallas. Were there any other impressions you got? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
did you leave?
We had to send him away. We're trying to have Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States is dead. John F. Kennedy has died of the wounds received in an assassination in Dallas less than an hour ago. We repeat, it has just been announced that President Kennedy is dead. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, is dead at the age of 46, shot by an assassin as he drove through the streets of Dallas, Texas, less than an hour ago. Repeating this, the President is dead, killed in Dallas, Texas, by a gunshot wound. We repeat our announcement that the President of the United States, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, is dead in Dallas, Texas, of an assassin's bullets. He was shot, and Governor Tom Connally of the state of Texas was shot as they rode in a motorcade through the streets of Dallas less than an hour ago. Governor Connally is in serious condition. President John Kennedy is dead. The 35th President of the United States, he was 46 years old. According to the Constitution, Vice President Lyndon Johnson will now succeed Mr. Kennedy in office. Mr. Johnson will become the 36th President of the United States, very probably within a few hours upon taking the oath of office.
Well, as a matter of fact, Alan, Lyndon Johnson is now the president, whether he takes the oath or not. He is the president.
Star-Spangled Banner. President John Kennedy is dead in Dallas, Texas. He was shot by an assassin's bullet less than an hour ago, and now the official word is that he has died from those wounds that he suffered from the assassin's gun as he drove through the streets of Dallas. President Kennedy is dead. Our new president is the Vice President Lyndon Johnson. For a moment, a brief biography on our president from my colleague Dallas Townsend.
Alan, Mr. Kennedy was the youngest president ever elected to office in the United States, and he was the first Roman Catholic president in the history of this country. Mr. Kennedy was born May 29th, 1917, in Brookline, Massachusetts. He was the second of nine children born to Joseph P. Kennedy, a financier and ambassador to the court of St. James. During his school years, the president attended the London School of Economics, and he graduated with honors from Harvard University. He later served with the U.S. Navy during the Second World War, and during that war, he commanded a PT boat in the Solomon Islands, and he was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps medals and the Purple Heart. After the war years, Mr. Kennedy briefly became a correspondent for the International News Service, and he covered the Potsdam Conference and the opening of the United Nations in San Francisco. In 1947, Mr. Kennedy entered politics by serving as Democratic representative from Massachusetts from 1947 to 1953. He defeated Henry Cabot Lodge for the Senate in 1952 and was reelected in 1958. It could easily be pointed out right now that Mr. Lodge, whom Mr. Kennedy defeated in 1952, is now serving as ambassador in South Vietnam. Mr. Kennedy came within an eyelash of winning the vice presidential nomination in 1956, losing to Senator Kefauver in the last few minutes of a very exciting ballot. He succeeded in winning the Democratic nomination for president over Lyndon Johnson and Adlai Stevenson in 1960. That was at the Los Angeles Convention in July of 1960. Mr. Kennedy was chosen on the first ballot. During the presidential election in November of 1960, Mr. Kennedy defeated Vice President Richard Nixon for the presidency by a slim majority, only about 113,000 votes. The president's immediate survivors include his wife, Mrs. Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, whom he married in 1953, their two children, Caroline, born in 1957, and John F. Kennedy, Jr., born in 1960. Mr. Kennedy was the author of Why England Slept, which was published about in 1940, and Profiles of Courage, which was published in the late 1940s and which won him a Pulitzer Prize. Mr. Kennedy was the recipient of a $1 million trust fund established by his father. These are just the sketchy outlines of a career which history will now begin to evaluate. Alan?
Our latest word from Dallas is that Vice President Johnson's wife after a quick check on conditions in the emergency section, has confirmed that her husband, the vice president, and now the new president of the country, was not harmed in the shooting in Dallas. Mr. Johnson was somewhere in the hospital, but it was impossible to determine his precise whereabouts at once. He was reported badly shocked by the shooting. Doctors are trying to keep him as quiet as possible. He is under heavy Secret Service and police protection. Throughout the Texas trip, when President Kennedy and Vice President Johnson had been in the same motorcade, as an obvious security measure, they have ridden in separate cars. The Johnson car has always been some distance from the Kennedy car, sometimes by as much as 60 yards. We see the reason and the value of this at this point. Today, the president was killed by an assassin's bullet. The vice president, riding in a separate car some distance behind, was unharmed. Here again is Dallas Townsend.
Alan, it might be interesting to recall at this point the savage struggle which Mr. Kennedy and Senator Johnson, they were both senators at that time, fought for the Democratic presidential nomination in Los Angeles in 1960. They went right down to the wire, but at the end, after Senator Kennedy had won the nomination, the vice president offered his full support, and the first move that Mr. Kennedy made after getting the nomination was to ask Senator Lyndon Johnson, then the Senate majority leader, to be his vice presidential candidate. And this is what has happened now.
I recall those days as well as you do, Dallas, out there, and as I understand, it took a good deal of persuasion to get Mr. Johnson to accept the post at that particular moment.
I believe it did. As a matter of fact, Senator Kennedy, after winning the nomination, went around to see Senator Johnson the morning after at his hotel, and they spent a long time in conference together. And finally, as a result of that meeting, Senator Lyndon Johnson decided to leave his post as the majority leader in the Senate and lend his support to the ticket. And ironically, as many observers have pointed out since then, it was the support that Lyndon Johnson gave to the president in 1960 which enabled the president to win Texas by a slim 43,000 votes, the state in which he was killed today.
A late report from Dallas is that two priests who were with the president came out to report that he did die of the bullet wounds. President Kennedy killed by an assassin in Dallas, Texas. There are other little items of history and coincidence that will keep popping up throughout the day and for some time. Senator Lodge, now Ambassador Lodge, whom you mentioned a moment ago, is back in this country from his post in Vietnam and had a date to confer with Mr. Kennedy in Virginia Sunday morning.
I think we might also point out, Alan, that Lyndon Johnson worked very closely with the president throughout the last 3 years. Mr. Kennedy kept him constantly informed. He was a member of the National Security Council. He was the chairman of the National Space Agency and the Space and Aeronautics Administration. And he was fully posted at every turn on the details of administration policy. There has never been any sign of friction at all between President Kennedy and President Johnson. Everything has always indicated that they worked together as a smoothly running Democratic team, and perhaps this will now pay off in what has happened. Government sources now have confirmed the report that we gave you, that Alan Jackson gave you a few moments ago. They have confirmed that President Kennedy is indeed dead. That report comes to us from Washington on the Associated Press, and it's the first report that we've had on one of the wire services that the president has died. This means, of course, that Vice President Lyndon Johnson has become the president automatically under American law.
The president and his party had just arrived in Dallas just about an hour ago. The president was on a 3-day trip to Texas, part of it for politics. This was the second day of the trip, and he had flown into Dallas and was due to be speaking at this moment at the Dallas Trade Mart, where he had an important speech which had been released a short time before by the White House and which, in fact, had been quoted and, in fact, published in afternoon newspapers and quoted on afternoon broadcast. The president who went to Dallas to deliver that speech did not deliver the speech, and he is dead instead. killed by an assassin, and we have had one report that Dallas police have picked up a 24-year-old suspect as the possible killer.
That report came from Dan Rather in Dallas. The suspect was identified as being 25 years old, and we haven't heard anything more on that for about 15 minutes. The original report was that police had surrounded a five-floor office building in downtown Dallas, and that they had found four empty cartridges on the fifth floor of that building. It seems almost certain that the assassin must have used a rifle with a telescopic sight in order to zero in so accurately on the president and Governor Connally. But we don't know who he is. There's no further report on who the suspect is or even the reason. And, of course, speculation on his reasons for killing the president and trying to kill Governor Connally would be idle at this point. We did have one other report that a Secret Service agent had been killed. We don't have the name of the agent so far. We understand now that a casket for the president's body is being brought into Parkland Hospital in Dallas. It all happened very quickly. It all happened inside an hour. The president and Governor Connally riding together with their wives through downtown Dallas on their way to the Dallas Trade Fair. About four shots rang out. Eyewitnesses mentioned hearing two or three shots. The president slumped forward with blood on his head, blood on his chest. The governor also slumped forward. The governor is not reported seriously injured. Bill Stinson, an assistant to Governor Connally, says he talked to the governor in the hospital operating room, and Connally was shot just below the shoulder blade in the back. And now we're going to switch again to Dallas, this time to Nelson Benton. I'm sorry, we thought we had Nelson Benton on the line, but the communication seemed to have failed at the last moment. Here's a late report. Senator Ralph Yarborough of Texas, who accompanied the president to Texas only yesterday on the presidential plane, was talking with newsmen a few minutes ago and collapsed in sobs as he told of witnessing the slaying of the president. And now we're going to switch to George Herman at the White House in Washington.
Perhaps a thousand times, the man named Lyndon Baines Johnson, up to now Vice President of the United States, has told friends how his father used to wake him up every morning by whacking him across the soles of the feet and saying, "Wake up, Lyndon, you're an hour late and a dollar short of every boy in town." Now Lyndon Johnson is 55 years old, and he's still inclined to worry whether he's still an hour late and a dollar behind every other boy in politics. Johnson is a big man, but without the easy self-confidence that many big men have. He's a worrier, constantly worrying about his position. Is he doing right? Is he still in the right position, strategically, tactically, politically? It's a symptom of this uncertainty that all the time he was running the United States Senate, a Senate majority leader, with an efficient and iron hand, he kept in his three big offices three big full-length paintings of himself, mostly opposite his desk, where he could glance up any time and see himself slightly larger than life. Johnson is a conscientious man. He ran the Senate with rigid control, but let everybody have his say. Let everybody argue for his point of view on the floor of the Senate, and seldom, if ever, shut off debate or parliamentary maneuverings without consulting all hands. He ran things in the Senate, but he ran them without riding roughshod over the opposition, except in the usual way, rounding up the votes and beating them decisively in the boat. Lyndon Johnson has often been accused by liberals of being the Southern conservative in President Kennedy's official family. But he came to Washington as a strong New Dealer, so strong a supporter of Franklin D. Roosevelt that the president brought him here in his official yacht, and Johnson and Roosevelt consulted constantly on ways and means of getting Roosevelt's legislation through the Congress. Only more recently has he come to be considered as a conservative, mostly by those liberals who wanted a stronger civil rights bill passed than Johnson thought could pass the Senate. Johnson is the kind of man who sees no sense whatsoever in fighting for a bill when you cannot muster the votes for it. He thinks it's just plain idiocy to make a stand for the record, to make an issue, when you don't have actually the votes that can be counted to put the bill through. And so, for this reason, he has very often been considered as a conservative, more conservative than he actually is. Also, for political reasons, he has sometimes taken a more conservative stand simply by keeping quiet on liberal matters. Lyndon Baines Johnson, 55 years old. He's had one heart attack several years ago. It was discovered by his friend, Senator Clinton Anderson. He took care of himself and was able to actively campaign for the vice presidency in the last election. Actively, energetically, perspiring profusely through the heat, but fighting all the way for his man, John Kennedy, to become the president of the United States. Lyndon Baines Johnson, 55 years old, now the next in line, the next in the spotlight. This is George Herman in Washington, returning you now for the latest to Dallas Townsend in New York. Well, the latest we have here, George, simply is that the president is dead. He died 41 minutes ago at 2 p.m. New York time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time in Dallas, Texas. Just a few minutes, about half an hour after he had been shot, mortally wounded, by an assassin who must have used a rifle with a telescopic sight to attack both him and Governor Connally. Eyewitnesses say that three, possibly four shots rang out. The president slumped forward in his limousine. The car was rushed to Parkland Hospital, but it was too late. The latest we have from the Associated Press is that Mr. Kennedy lived about an hour. I think it was a bit less than that. Lived about an hour after a sniper cut him down as his limousine left downtown Dallas. And the mantle of the presidency has now automatically fallen on the vice president. Police in Dallas have found a foreign-made rifle. Sheriff's officers are questioning a young man picked up at the scene. This must be the 25-year-old suspect mentioned a few moments ago by correspondent Dan Rather, who is in Dallas. The name of the man has not been made public, nor has the name of the Secret Service officer who apparently was shot and killed at the same time that the fatal attack was made on President Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson, although he has not yet taken the oath of office, is now, at the age of 55 years old, the 37th president of the United States.
Dallas, I think we might emphasize here that the vice president was not injured in the shooting today. There had been one report earlier that he might have been injured slightly, that he had entered the hospital holding his arm. Vice President Johnson's wife, after a quick check on conditions in the hospital, said that her husband was unharmed. He was not shot. And again, we note that throughout this Texas trip, when the President Kennedy and Vice President Johnson had been in the same motorcade, as an obvious security measure, they have ridden in separate cars. The Johnson car has always been some distance from the Kennedy car, sometimes by as much as 60 yards. Incidentally, to remind our listeners and our stations along the network, the CBS radio network will program continuously on the story of the death of President John Kennedy and subsequent developments until further notice. We are continuing to get details and more information from Dallas, the scene of the shooting, and reaction is beginning to pour in from all parts of the world. We've already had a cable from some of our overseas correspondents. Dan Shore cables from Bonn that the new Chancellor of West Germany, Erhard, who had been scheduled to fly to Washington Sunday to confer with the president, is automatically canceling his visit, even though he had not at the time received official notification of the president's death.
Alan, one of the many ironies in this situation is that the assassination of President Kennedy occurred at a time when there were rumors, and former Vice President Nixon mentioned them, that the president might decide not to have Vice President Johnson run with him on the ticket in 1964.
And now we're getting more information from the scene of the area, and for that, we're going to switch to the...